Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to earnings conference call of JM Financial Limited. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touch-tone phone. Kindly note that any forward-looking statements made on this call are based on the management's current expectations. However, the actual results may vary significantly, and therefore, the accuracy and completeness of these expectations cannot be guaranteed. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Kampani. Thank you, and over to you, Mr. Kampani.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, we extend a very warm welcome to all of you to the earnings conference call to discuss our financial results for the quarter and year ended March 2025. We have uploaded our results, presentation, and press release on the website and stock exchanges. I hope you have had a chance to go through the same. On the call, we also have with us our senior management team. We have Chirag, Managing Director, JM Financial Limited; Sonia, MD and CEO, Investment Banking; Manish, MD and CEO of our Home Loans business; Dimple, Head of Investment Advisory and Distribution; Anuj, Head of Private Wealth; Amitabh, CEO of our Asset Management business; and Nishit Shah, our Group CFO. I will give the key updates and then I'll hand over the call to Nishit to take you through the numbers. During the quarter, we increased our shareholding in JM Financial Credit Solutions from approximately 47% to 97%, and we paid out a sum of 1,500 crores to the investors who were invested in Credit Solutions. We have also consolidated our asset reconstruction business under JM Financial Credit Solutions. Our focus will now be on the big opportunities in the private markets business, comprising of private credit across corporate, bespoke, and real estate, with a focus on origination to syndication and also private investments on the equity side through a private equity fund on growth-focused funds and investments in REITs, etc. In line with our earlier guidance and a shift to an off-balance sheet model, the loan book across wholesale real estate, including land funding and financial institution financing and MSME, has run down from approximately 7,500 crores as of March 31st, 2024 to 3,570 crores as of March 31st, 2025. This is a significant reduction that we have achieved and with minimal impact on balance sheet. In light of the above rundown of the loan book, from a strategic perspective, it's important that the overall financial and operating metrics should ideally be compared on a Q-on-Q basis as compared on a year-on-year basis. I would now like to take you through the update on the focus businesses as follows. On first, the corporate advisory and capital markets business. This includes the investment banking and institutional equity business. The pipeline of transactions for both our equity capital markets and M&A business continues to remain strong. We are happy to report that we stood number one in QIP deals done in terms of volume in FY 2025. And during the quarter ended March 25, we have seen a strong fraction of M&A and PE syndication deals. Wealth and asset management. The AUM of our wealth management business stood at approximately 1.1 lakh crores, 11% increase YOY. The recurring AUM of our non-retail wealth has increased from 12,500 crores to approximately 19,000 crores, which is an increase of almost 50% on a YOY basis. The SEBI margin financing book increased to 1583 crores, which is a 12% increase YOY. There was some volatility that we saw in this book in the JFM quarter. We are hoping that this will stabilize and continue on the growth path from this quarter onward. Our mutual fund business AUM has doubled in the last 1 year to 13,400 crores. Private markets. This business includes loans and investments in private securities, largely unlisted securities of mostly private companies. We will focus our energies on the private markets business using our capital, our connectivity, and our core innovation and solutions-led expertise. As you know, India has a long history of family-owned and entrepreneurial first-generation businesses that need not only advice, but bespoke solutions and access to private capital, both on the debt and equity side, for a period of time before they go public. My endeavor at private markets is to be the partner of choice. Our rich history of providing solutions to businesses will drive a commingled strategy, providing both advice from my investment bank and capital from private markets to these businesses and families. Affordable home loans. The business includes our home loans business in the affordable segment. We now have a branch network of 128 branches and our AUM is at 2,830 crores, which is an increase of over 26% YOY. The net worth in this business stands at 800 crores. With this, I hand over to Nishit, who will take you through some details on the numbers, and then we can open it up for Q&A. Thank you.
Thank you, Vishal. During the quarter, income from fees, commission and brokerage has increased by 22% quarter on quarter to rupees 435 crores. For the full year ended March 2025, the fees, commission and brokerage, excluding ARC and NBFC, stood at rupees 1,407 crores, registering a growth of 15% year-on-year. This income stream is a strong focus area for the group going forward. We continue to focus on further scaling up these businesses to generate operating leverage. Interest income for the quarter is lower on account of the planned reduction in the loan book in real estate, financial institutions and MSME. However, interest income for the home loans business has increased by 7% quarter-on-quarter and has remained flattish for SEBI margin financing book on account of the volatility in the market. With a significant part of the planned reduction in the loan book already being done with, we anticipate interest income to normalize and increase going forward in line with the trends in the loan book. As guided in the earlier quarters, we have concluded the two-year cycle of provisions with an impairment on financial instruments reducing significantly for the quarter ended March 2025 to rupees 7 crore. As compared to rupees 117 crore for quarter ended December 24. For the full year ended March 25, the impairment on financial instruments stood at 425 crores compared to rupees 577 crores for year ended March 24. Over the last 2 years, the provisions taken in the books have aggregated to rupees 1000 crores. We continue to focus on recoveries and have reasonable visibility on some recoveries in FY 2026. Despite the volatility in the markets, profit after tax and non-controlling interest for quarter 4 FY25 stood at rupees 210 crores as compared to rupees 209 crores for quarter ended December 24. It may be noted that the P&L impact on account of the transaction involving increase in stake in Credit Solutions has not been considered for quarter ended March 2025 as these transactions concluded in the last few weeks of March 25. The consolidation of P&L shall be done from the quarter ended June 2025. Considering the impact of consolidation for quarter ended March 2025 on a pro forma basis, the PAT would be rupees 238 crores compared to rupees 210 crores for quarter ended December 2024, which is an increase of 13% quarter on quarter. The impact of consolidation of higher stake has been given in the balance sheet. We continue to witness strong traction in JM Financial Home Loans and JM Financial Asset Management as we look to further scale up these businesses. Total income for JM Financial Home Loans for quarter ended March 2025 has increased to approximately 100 crore, which is an increase of 32% year-on-year and stood at rupees 369 crore for FY25, which is an increase of 43% year-on-year. Profit after tax stood at rupees 59 crores for FY25, which is an increase of 49% on year-on-year basis. JM Financial Asset Management reported an AUM growth of almost 100% on a year-on-year basis. The total revenue for FY25 stood at rupees 43 crores, which is an increase of 49% year-on-year. The management fees for quarter ended March 25 stood at 13 crores, which is an increase of 1.4 times as compared to the earlier year. During the quarter, JM Financial Asset Management announced a rights issue of rupees 100 crore of partly paid shares, of which 50 crore has been paid up by March 2025. The consolidated net worth of the group, excluding minority interest, stood at 9,675 crores, translating to a book value per share of 101 compared to 93 rupees for the quarter ended December 2024. The board of directors of the company have recommended a dividend of rupees 2.7 per share. This dividend is the highest dividend ever recommended from the operating profits. With this brief update, I would like to hand over the call to the moderator for further questions.
Thank you. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and 1 on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and 2. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. The first question comes on the line of Digant Haria with Greenedge Wealth. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi team. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. So Vishal, the first question is, you know, there is a bit of positive surprise in the corporate advisory business because this was the worst quarter for the stock markets, you know, this Jan to March quarter, and we have perhaps done, like, you know, the best profits in the last four quarters. So I'm assuming this entire surprise would have come from the M&A, you know, M&A and transaction advisory business. So if any color you can give on what did we do in the quarter and, like, you know, how does this part of the business behave, you know, in terms of growth over the next 2-3 years? That's my first question.
Yeah, sure. So I think you're right. The M&A pipeline, which was built, a significant part of that execution happened in the last quarter. Even in the private equity syndication, a lot of the transactions were completed in the last quarter. Also, a good uptick on the institutional equity side in terms of gains in market share across a lot of clients, which has also helped the first segment perform very well. This segment is, as I've always said, is an extremely profitable segment. It operates at almost 50% ROE and at almost 40% kind of PAT margin, PBT margin. And I think our pipeline continues to be very robust. ECM was weak last quarter, but ECM was weak for the entire industry, not just us. And I think the pipeline is very robust, as I said, and we expect very decent growth to continue in the next foreseeable future. Anything else you want to add, Sonia or Chirag?
I think we are. JM has built, being here for 5 decades and the entire senior management team having experience of more than, 2 decades has helped us leverage a lot of deep relationships that we have and, build traction across industries to deliver sound advisory practice. And, you know, we're very confident to maintain our market leadership in this space.
All right, thank you for the detailed answers. Vishal, second question is on the, on this entire pivot which we did from last June, when we announced moving to this asset-light model. So now the first leg of that pivot was the balance sheets running down and us consolidating our stakes in Credit Solutions and ARC. So I think that has happened pretty well. And now probably a lot of money has come back. We are sitting with a good amount of cash. More cash will come over the next 18 months. So if you can give, more color on, how we will use this in the private syndication business, number one. And number two is, we have given good dividend this time, but, as I can see from the balance sheet, there is still scope for doing a lot more on the dividend part as well. So any thoughts here would be appreciated.
Yeah, so that's a good question, Digant. I think because of our good capitalization, we are in a very fortunate space where we will not only grow, but despite growth, we will also have a very good dividend payout ratio. And just so investors understand this, our first business, which we talked about earlier in your first question, the corporate advisory and capital markets business, as I said, will generate a very decent ROE and does not require much capital. And we feel that we should have a payout ratio in excess of 50% in that business. And even in private markets, we do not need excess capital. We are very well capitalized. And as Nishit explained in his call, that we've done over 1,000 crores of provisioning and we feel we are fully provided and the business should see very good traction and profitability over the next 2 years. And again, as we are well capitalized, we should be able to again sustain between a 40 to 50% payout ratio in terms of profits of that business as dividend. And I would say assuming that the capital markets are healthy and the state they've been in the last 3-4 years and the pipeline continues to get executed, then I think dividends will stay higher from the levels we've done in the last 3 years. So 3 years back, the dividend was 1.8 rupees a share. Last year was 2 rupees, and we've proposed 2.7 rupees. So in effect, in the last 3 years, we've doubled our dividend. And if the profitability continues, which I'm fairly confident we should be able to double dividend in another 3 years as well.
Perfect. That's great to hear, Vishal. And just on this private syndication business, at least as of now, the numbers look small. But, what is the glide path, say, next 2 years? How much capital gets consumed there? How much, fee income or transactions can we do? Any progress in the last 12 months in this, if you can highlight that?
Yeah, so as you know, that last 1 year, we were very focused on taking control of JM Financial Credit Solutions, which we have. We have used a significant portion of our cash, 1,500 crores, to buy out the minorities. But that cash is visibly sitting anyway in JM Financial Credit Solutions. And I think the consolidation of the ARC under Credit Solutions gives us an integrated approach on the credit side, where we can work with a host of private companies, promoter families. We have brought down the real estate book to a very comfortable level now. As you know, our real estate book at peak used to be 10,000 crores. Bulk of the provisions of 1,000 crores are sitting in real estate, and the real estate book today is at less than 3,000. So we have extremely healthy coverage on the book of almost 27-28%. So I expect that this 1,000 crores we should be able to recover over the next 3 to 4 years. And there is no further provision needed. And if we are able to maintain even a 2,500 to 3,000 crore real estate book and a corporate plus bespoke book of another 6,000 to 7,000, I think there is very good earnings potential in the private markets business at a debt equity of less than 1:1. And on top of that, we will also power through using our corporate advisory, capital markets, and wealth management segment to do interesting stuff in the private equity side through our private equity fund. We are also entering into a lot of co-investment partnerships where we will be able to execute not only for balance sheet but even syndication on the unlisted side, a tremendous amount of equity investments for our clients. And we're very excited to even roll that business out from balance sheet in private markets through co-investment models. So, looks very exciting. Obviously, we were not disclosing the full strategy of what we want to do with that business in the last two calls because we were, purchasing the minority stake from the investors. Now that it is done, we'll be fully focused on executing this strategy over the next 2 years.
Perfect. That's very heartening to hear, Vishal. Thank you so much and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Chintan Shah with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and also congratulations on the quarter. Just adding on that AIF private private equity syndication business which we are talking about. If you could just given that now we won't be doing that wholesale lending wherein we have a strong connect, but we will be doing that business indirectly via this syndication business. So how big can the total AUM via syndication be over the next 2 years? Any thoughts on that? So basically, just want to understand how much can it add to the bottom line in terms of fee income, and given that the cost is very limited, it could add to the overall profitability of the group. So firstly, just wanted to get some thoughts there.
Yeah, Chintan, thank you. So let me explain to you that when we talk about private credit and private credit syndication, it's a limited balance sheet business. It's not a zero balance sheet business, because in most of these cases, when you originate, you have to originate, underwrite, and then you have to syndicate. The idea is that when you're not running a very high leverage model and not trying to build a financial institution where you have to chase loan growth quarter on quarter, then the syndication business becomes very important. And we're seeing a lot of traction, syndication on real estate in corporate as well as on the equity side in private situations. So the idea is, how do we build a franchise which is very strong at not only originating, making sure that they have a strong enough hold position on balance sheet through which we generate very good NIM, and we also are able to have good fees on the syndication side that adds to the return on equity in the business. So I think, imagine a scenario, just to put numbers down, where if we have, say, close to around 5,000 crores of equity, and we supplement that with 5,000 crores of debt, I think on a 10,000 crore book, we should be able to earn easily an yield of anywhere between 12 to 13%. And the idea is, how do we churn this balance sheet in such a way that we're constantly making at least 1 to 2% of additional fees? So that's how we're thinking about the business, and the business is fully staffed. We have all the people that we need to run that business. We don't need to add too many people. And we have all of these relationships which we want to mine, work with, provide interesting solutions, as well as keep the profitability at a very decent level. Now, this business will never hit of 30-40% kind of ROE which the advisory business hits, because the advisory business does not need capital. But the way we look at it is, our endeavor will be to hit the early teens. So if we're able to hit 13 to 14% kind of returns on the syndication side, and we have 30 to 40% returns on the corporate advisory and institutional equity side, I think the blended return on that capital that we are deploying should be in the high teens.
So, if I just understood it correctly, so basically, just hypothetically, as you told, 50 billion of equity and 50 billion of debt. So basically, assuming a 10,000 crore book, so half of it would be funded by us and half would be via syndication. Is that a correct understanding?
No. So I think the book eventually will be at 10,000 crores. It will be funded by a 1:1 net debt to equity.
Yes.
The syndication amount will be over and above that.
Okay. And in syndication also, we would be inputting some number, right? 20%, I guess, or 20% would be funded from our side, right? And 80%.
Not necessarily. In some positions, we could be as low as even 10%. In some cases, we'll hold even 30 or 40%. I think it's very deal to deal related. It's very hard to say that we will be approximately 20. So it depends. So right now the balance sheet capacity is very strong to be able to hold and sell down at our terms. So if we see interesting transactions, we will underwrite and sell down at our terms. If the markets are very, very liquid and we can do pure syndication and make returns from it, we'll do pure syndication and make returns from it. The numbers I'm giving you roughly are not today's numbers. The numbers where we want to reach. Today the numbers are way smaller because the balance sheet has come down dramatically. But the growth plan takes us to around a 10,000 crore-ish book is the objective in a matter of 3 years.
Sure. And secondly, I think Nishit sir mentioned that we have reasonable visibility of some recoveries in FY26. Given that we have already almost provided more than 90% on the wholesale portfolio as well as the ARC, we have a sizable provision. Can we also expect some provision right back? And also, if you could throw some light on the quantum of how much recoveries are expected and how much is the...
I think you should safely assume something like a one-third. I said this on one of my earlier calls also, I think. Assume of the 1,000 crores, we'll recover one-third this year, one-third in 27 and one-third in 28.
It's 1,000 crores each year. And what would be the provision, sir?
Not each year. 1,000 crores is the total provision. So we'll recover roughly 300 each year.
Okay.
We are fairly confident that we'll recover everything that we've provided.
Okay. Sure. So the entire this provision matlab could be written back over the next 3 years.
Yes.
Sure. Okay. I'll join back in the queue. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Ravi Purohit Securities Investment Management Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for taking my question. I have two questions. So one is, if you could just spend some time on our mortgage lending business, both wholesale as well as retail, as to what's our long-term game here. This is probably one of those businesses which will require constant infusion of capital, and ROEs are still subpar. So if you could just share some the thoughts on that. And broadly, if we look at JM as a whole today, has let's say about 10,000 odd crore net worth with about 5,000 crore in treasury. Now, if this is not deployed over a longer period of time and the net worth keeps expanding, at what point of time or what path will the company take to achieve that 15-20% ROE? Assuming this net worth is not paid out and this cash stays on the balance sheet, which effectively means when, what's the path to kind of, making 1500 to 1800 crore profit? Because I mean, the ROEs will come either you shrink the net denominator or we deploy significant amounts of money over a period of time and generate, significantly higher ROEs on that. So if you could just spend some time on both these, it'd be great.
Yeah. Let me start with your second question first. So I think of the 5,000 crores that we have in treasury assets, I think we'll take an additional close to 2,800 back into business, and we will leave surplus of around 2,200 in cash. And we will give all of those details in our June quarter in terms of where the cash is being deployed and in terms of which business and how. So you should also understand the ROE, right? I mean, if you look at our profitability, X, the investments that we are making in digital, in physical branches in terms of our broking platform, the additions in manpower and wealth management, as well as the burn that is on in asset management to scale the business, X that burn and X those businesses, the ROE is anyway already in the early teens. The idea really is to make sure that we scale businesses and our businesses become much larger than where they are today over the next 2 years. And we started this journey of investment 2 years ago. It's kind of a 3 to 5 year plan, and we will continue investing over the next 2 years because right now size, scale, and the momentum to be much larger in some of these segments is very important to us and strategically important to us. And therefore, that investment is reducing profits a little bit, but as these businesses break even, many of them scale in terms of their revenues, you will see a lot of increase in profitability over time. And some of these things we are already seeing when we see data on a lag basis. We're already seeing a lot of these investments become profitable. It's just a matter of time, year or two down the line, where there'll be much more profitability from the same. So coming to your question on mortgage lending, I will have Manish talk about retail, but before he starts, on the wholesale side, we have shrunk the mortgage lending business on the wholesale side for a couple of reasons. One is that there are a lot of changes in regulation which came from RBI over the last 2 years, some of them increasing provisions and some of them raising a question mark on what kind of financing is possible through an NBFC structure. And, land finance, early stage approval finance are all not clearly permitted by these regulations. And therefore, there's a necessity to, shrink the book. Also, I think we've realized that the recoveries from many of these segments take much longer compared to what we had estimated earlier, and that digs into ROA. That really reduces ROA by almost 100 to 150 basis points, and therefore reduces the profitability of the model over cycles. And therefore, we are focusing on high-quality real estate developers who we will work with, where we can do equity transactions with them, where we can do credit transactions with them, and we will do more construction finance and more syndication of the same construction finance and syndication of land finance. And therefore, keeping a book at less than 3,000 crores is probably healthier long-term from a balance sheet perspective, but doing more fee-based business with these same developers and relationships is a better sort of business model, and that's why we pivoted the business model a year ago. I'll pass it on to Manish now, who will talk you through our retail home loans plan.
So hi, Ravi, this is Manish here. Basically, affordable home loan business, okay, now we are in the 8th year, and as we speak this year, we have now opening out of 128 branches, roughly 2,900 crore of AUM. Our net worth is around 800 crore, and rightly said by you, our ROE is 8.5% and our ROA is 2.5%. The question is that how will you grow this business? So even in the last call, what we said and we are maintaining the same, that we'll grow at least 30% CAGR. So we will take this business AUM from 2,900 crore by FY27 we will be at 5,000 crore, and by FY30 we will be at 10,000 crore at that rate. While we grow this business, our branches will grow from 128 today to roughly 200 branches by FY28 and roughly 275 branches by FY30. The question was more on ROE, which is today at 8.5%. We are budgeting that we will be at roughly 11.5% to 12% in FY28 and roughly 14% by FY30. And that means we will take up our ROA up from 2.5% to around 3% by FY27.
Okay. Okay. Thanks. Thanks, Manish, for that. Just one clarification on the numbers in the P&L. There is a line item in our P&L called net gain on fair value changes. If you see that number for the full year financial year, it is about 735 crores versus last year 560 crores. Now, what is this net gain on fair value changes? Because what we are trying to establish, or at least what I'm trying to understand, is what is really our operating income versus some of these fair value changes in investment book and all this. So this net gain on fair value changes, is it mark to market changes? These are actual changes. What, because bulk of our profit, if I look at the reported profits and the net gain on fair value change number, they are probably the same. So we could just clarify what exactly this line item constitutes.
Yeah, hi, this is Nishit here. So net gain on fair value changes includes the realized as well as the unrealized profit. So under Ind AS, we have to mark to market the financial instruments. So that everything comes under this net gain on fair value changes. Now, even the investments that we do of surplus liquidity for some of our NBFCs, which are technically operating in nature, actually move through the net gain on fair value changes. So it's more accounting from that perspective.
So how do we assess the core profitability of our businesses? In the sense, when we adjust for, so should we take out net gain on fair value changes from our operating profits to assess the true profitability of the business? I'm just a little confused on that angle. So like we many times do, like non-recurring incomes or non-cash income or expenses we net out from P&Ls of companies to establish what their true business incomes are. Here, this net gain on fair value changes is such a large number that one is kind of, I understand we have given business by business breakup in the PPT, but all of those also will include this, their segment wise numbers, right? So this really kind of,
I think could just share, yeah. When Vishnu was trying to explain to you, even the mutual fund investments that we make, which are in the nature of liquid mutual funds, right? Which is the earnings from the cash that we've had on balance sheet. So we've had, on an average basis, the highest cash on balance sheet last year. Because the payout of 1,500 crores for Credit Solutions also happened in the last 2 weeks of March, right?
Right.
So even the liquid investments that we make, all of that goes through the same line item, right? So it's literally kind of a treasury income. So it is not core income. It is income from your treasury investments in mutual funds and, of course, gains in some of the other instruments, whether debt or equity that you have. But large part of it is investments in mutual funds.
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot.
That number over time will reduce because we won't be holding so much cash like we've been holding in the last 2 years. The cash will get deployed more and more in business, and therefore what you're seeing today as treasury income will actually become interest income as we start deploying to build a private market syndication business.
Fair point. I think I got that.
If you see the way the balance sheet has moved over 4 or 5 years, right? So, 10,000 crore real estate book has become 3,000 crores, and Credit Solutions on average had 3,800 crores of cash last year. So, it is interest income which reduced, which became cash. We tried to prepay as much of loans that we could where banks were accepting and the mutual funds were accepting. And then whatever cash remained on balance sheet was invested in mutual funds, which gave you a return.
Right.
And we have 10% of treasury, which we invest in equity, which did very well, which gave you a return.
Right.
So it's 90% of that return is from liquid mutual funds and 10% of it is from equity treasury.
Right. So in a sense, if I look at the line items and the revenue from operations, the first line item is interest income, which is right now actually on a reducing glide path, whereas other income is going up. Over a period of time, the two
over should reverse. Over the next 5 years, now 5 years are done, this is the reset year. Over the next 4 to 5 years, you will again see it reverse. You will see interest income going up and other income coming down.
Okay, fair enough. I think that's very, very clear. Thank you so much for this explanation. Really appreciate it. Thank you.
Of course. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Prolin Nandu with Edelweiss Public Alternatives. Please go ahead.
Yeah, Vishal, thank you so much for giving me the opportunity. Just your comment on you wanting to take the credit solution book back to 10,000, right, with 5,000 of equity and 5,000 of debt. Will it be that the syndication will start once you build this 10,000 crore book and...
No. Syndication is already on.
So,
yeah.
Understood. No, so what I'm saying is that do you have a number in mind as to how do you want to balance the yield income that will earn on this book and the syndication fee? This is like a 50-50 mix that you have in mind or 70-30 mix. Any comment on that as to how should one think about the...
No, I think that's a good question. It's very hard to put a number down in terms of what the mix will be. But I think on average, we should be able to syndicate at least 1 to 1.5 times of what is on balance sheet. So you can churn the number out. So assuming if your balance sheet is... say 100 rupees and you have 150 rupees of syndication, that means you make your fees on syndication and you make your NIM on the 100 rupees that you've invested. So that's roughly the kind of math you can work in your model.
So then it means that it will still largely be in, let's say, next 5 years, still largely be a yield business rather than a fee business, right? Assessment correct? While you can't put the numbers, but
no, because there will be a lot of deals where we will be only syndicating. This is the combination deals where we are holding on balance sheet and we are doing syndication. Now the only syndicating business is very hard to put a number because it's like the equity capital markets number. You may have 2 quarters of great syndication going on and you may have 2 quarters of no syndication going on. So it's very hard to tell you how much of pure syndication will happen and when.
No, so Vishal, I'm not talking about a quarterly number, but I mean, can it be a 50-50 mix, let's say, right, in some sense?
No. Interest income will be a higher mix for the foreseeable future, at least the next 2 to 3 years.
Okay, that's it from my side. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay with Google Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good afternoon. My first question was on the ERC side, we see a purchase of asset of 260 crore. Is it a single asset or it's a retail side of asset what we have acquired?
No, this is a asset which we bought in partnership with a corporate group where we are helping the corporate group with the recovery process. So it's not a retail asset, it is a wholesale asset. So as we explained our strategy a couple of quarters back, we will only do two strategies in our ARC. One is partnerships with our corporate clients, high quality corporate clients, in identifying and helping them acquire stressed assets, where we will have some form of hold with them in those assets. And we will do retail assets more on the secured side, where again, we are able to get some kind of a minimum return, at least in the low teens, which is, sort of very NBFC-like kind of returns and not really taking on the whole load of restructuring and collections. The collection piece has to be in partnership with the NBFC, the bank that we acquire the asset from. Of course, we will follow all our processes in the ARC in terms of collection, but we don't want to build today a full-blown retail collections business because the operating costs of building that can be very significant.
And one more thing, this is on the private market side. So
yeah,
we had two assets. One was wholesale and the financial institutional financing. Okay.
Yeah.
One of the things what we were seeing on builder loans was the demand was very low and the cost or the lending rates were very low and it had become very unattractive. But with some softening in let's say purchases, are we seeing the builders are coming to market for incremental higher capital and higher rate? What is the sentiment on that side and some thoughts over that business, or how are you looking at the opportunity in next 6 months to 1 year?
Yeah, so far we have not seen a surge in requirements from builders because of the slowdown in sales, but your question is a very good one. If a lag in sales or a slowdown in sales has to continue for the next couple of quarters, then you will see a surge in financing requirements to go up on the construction finance side, because for completion, builders will have to draw on the construction finance. But so far, I mean, at least till the last quarter, we've not seen a big surge. Having said that, most developers are in very good shape from a credit perspective. I think the large developers specifically have done very well in the last 3 to 4 years. So they have a lot of buffers in terms of cash flow management. So we'll have to see over the next 1 year how the growth trajectory for this business pans out.
And in this environment, what we are looking at or what seems now, do we think this business will start or we will start getting growth, seeing growth in this business, let's say, on a
There is a lot of growth in real estate, in land financing, as well as the mid-tier and some of the smaller developers who you can lend to. The point is, we don't want to be in that business. Having seen a long cycle now for the last over 15 years, we believe it is better to stick to the quality end of the developers, work with them with interesting bespoke solutions, and maintain a construction finance book with the quality developers and not go down the curve to chase higher yield. But, if you're willing to lend, there are a lot of transactions available at 18 and 19 and 20%. There are a lot of land finance transactions also available at similar rates. But those are all better done through fund structures and not on balance sheet structures. Our very clear strategy is to keep, one is balance sheet light, 1:1 net debt to equity is what we want to work with. Number two, work with absolutely high quality customers, high quality clients, and manage that risk, and manage that higher risk adjusted returns through bespoke solutions and high quality advice, and not take unnecessary risk at all chasing higher yield. That we are very, very clear about that.
And I missed a point, or I don't know if you said, what would be the group level borrowing currently?
around 11,000 crores.
Okay.
So when I talk about the 1:1 net debt to equity, it is about the NBFC business. Of course, the HFC and the loan against share in the margin trade financing business will keep growing, and they would be at anywhere between 4 times, 3.5 to 4.5 times debt to equity. But those are retail granular businesses; they can afford to have high leverage.
No, I get your point. So currently we are around 11,000 crores. Last quarter it was 12,000 crores. Yeah. Okay. Thank you for my time.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Hari Kumar, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Am I audible? Am I audible, sir? Hello? Hello?
Yes, Mr. Kumar, you are audible. Speakers?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. My question, sir, regarding this AD division is doing good, but this alternative and distress credit, how much of the legacy recoveries should we estimate?
The speaker line has been disconnected. Please be on hold. I'll quickly get them reconnected. Ladies and gentlemen, the management line has been reconnected. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, sir.
Sorry, repeat.
Can you hear?
Yeah, I can hear you. Okay, sir.
About this distress credit business, sir, how much of the legacy amounts we are at the record because we are not at seeing any positive return on the invested amounts? That's the only question I have.
Sorry, I didn't get the question. Could you repeat that?
So about this alternative and distressed credit business, sir.
ARC business, yes, tell me.
Yeah, we are not seeing any positive returns on this division, sir. All other divisions are doing good. But how much is the legacy assets we have had to recover in this business, sir? And can we expect any positive surprises going ahead?
Yes, hopefully we should have some positive surprises this year and next year. Though we've not had profitability, we've had our best collection year last year. I think we were able to collect almost 1,400 crores. We've paid down a significant amount of our debt using the collection and the cash flow. The debt equity is at very, very comfortable levels, more than comfortable levels in the business. And this year and next year, I think we should see a good turnaround in profitability in that business.
So period can we expect the legacy assets to be fully dissolved, sir?
I think barring three assets, I think everything is resolved.
Cash is
collected. The only big asset which I had mentioned last time as well is Unitech, which has not seen any progress on resolution. Otherwise, every other single asset is either in NCLT, in the mid stage or advanced stage, or there is some settlement going on where resolution is taking place. So the only asset where we have no visibility on resolution is Unitech, but there is positive news where in last quarter, the Supreme Court said that the management as well as the lender should try and come on the table and reach some kind of a settlement. So we are waiting to hear back from the management of Unitech on what they have in mind.
Okay, sir. Why are we not seeing any profitability even after recovering all the amounts, sir?
Because we made provisions against some of the assets where we don't expect recovery to be as high, and therefore we've cautiously provided in the ARC as well, just the way we provided against the real estate book.
Okay. Nothing of them has thrown any positive surprise. Okay.
Yeah. So far nothing, okay. But this year and next year should be good.
Okay, thank you. Thank you very much, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you must press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you must press star and one to ask a question. Next question comes from the line of Himanshu Upadhyay with Google Rock PMS. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Any update on that Bombay Rayon write-off what we took on the ARC side? One big write-off.
Yeah, that is fully resolved. That was a large part of the collection we had last year.
Okay, sir. So that gets that is done now.
Yeah, that is done.
Okay. Yeah, that was it from my side. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question comes from the line of Sadeep, an individual investor. Please go ahead.
Yes, sir, Sandeep here.
Hi.
How much cash we have now, sir?
3,600
crores. 3,600 crores. And any update about Blinks app, digital of our brokerage firm, brokerage app?
Yeah, so BlinkX.
Yeah.
So I think we made very good progress. The app is fully stabilized. It is in sort of flow of marketing. But because of the low volumes on the option side in the last 3 to 4 months, we did not push the pedal very hard on the marketing side. And this year, I think we'll see a lot more traction on BlinkX. Hopefully, markets being very supportive. But the app has come out very well. The ratings are very positive. The initial trader feedback that we have on the app is absolutely fantastic.
How much customers on this app for trading now? Any update for this?
So I can't hear you clearly. How many?
How many customers now trading on app? New customer added only for the app.
Yeah, we're not giving the breakup data of that as of now. We'll start providing it from June quarter.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. A reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Once again, a reminder to all the participants that you may press star and one to ask a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we have reached the end of question and answer session. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Vishal Kampani for closing comments.
Yeah, thank you very much, everyone, for attending the call. As we said earlier, we've had an excellent year in terms of resetting and making clear our business priorities. And we look forward to tremendous growth over the next 2 to 3 years in all of our businesses. And we will look forward to our call in the June quarter. Thank you.
Thank you. On behalf of JM Financial, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.